Tonight, if you're taking notes, well, first of all, let me see. How many guys brought your Bibles today? Let me see them up in the air. Put them up in the air and wave them like it just don't care. Yeah. Cool, man. I'm glad to see you guys bringing your Bibles. If you didn't bring your Bible tonight, we've got it up on the overhead, but please don't get committed to the overhead. Bring your Bibles. Tonight, if you're taking notes, the message title is God's Got a Swagger for You. Look at your neighbor and say, do you got swag? Do you got swag? The title of the message tonight is God's Got a Swagger for you. And you know what? Tonight, as I study throughout the Word of God, I find that it's true. God has a swagger for you. God has a certain look He wants to see in each and every one of your lives. It's probably best said like this. God has a lifestyle. He wants a living reality in each and every one of your lives. Amen. The Bible says in Peter, it says that you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are God's own special people. Another translation, you are a peculiar people. You're different than everybody else. You've been called to proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We were once in darkness, but now we're in His marvelous light. It's obvious to me God has a swagger for you and for me. Now, also what I find evident is that as I drive to and from Beaumont, I live in Beaumont, I have a little commute that I do every day to work, and I see the cars, all other cars out there, I see the different people, I watch the news, I watch sports. It's evident to me that there is a swagger that the world has. In just about every area of life, everybody has a swagger, regardless if it's in regards to their hobby, their career, they're a scientist, they're a teacher, they're a specialist at something. Everybody has a swagger. Everybody has a certain lifestyle that they're promoting. Everybody has a message that they like to publicize, and they like to make sure the masses see and hear and understand about them. Are you with me tonight? Here in Southern California, everybody knows what a bro is. What's up, bro? Everybody does. I find it not funny. I mean, everybody has their thing, but bros, they like the big trucks. They like the big lifted trucks with the big tires. Usually they have some kind of SoCal sticker on the back, a couple of skin silhouettes on each side of the, and sometimes I'm like, oh, Jesus. Bros, they've got a certain swagger about them. They got a certain lifestyle they're promoting. They got a certain message they're sending out to everybody else. You got other kinds of people, and they like their old school Lincolns, their old school Cadillacs. They like the 20. Oh, dang. Who did that? Yeah. They like the 20 plus inch rims. They like riding low. They like riding dirty. That's what they say. I hope that's not bad. I don't really know what the meaning of that saying is. But they got. But they got a certain lifestyle, a certain swagger that they're promoting. They've got a certain thing that they want to publicize, they want to make sure everybody else knows about. They want to make sure they know that you know that they hard. They got guns in the trunk and you don't want to mess with them. They got a swag. There's other kinds of people, they like rice burners. How many of you guys know what a rice? I have a rice burner. I'm pretty proud of my rice burner. And, you know, you see them speeding down the freeway. They usually have a Honda with an obnoxious muffler on the back. And they go speeding, racing you from stoplight to stoplight and sound like their car is going to blow up. But they have a certain swagger. They want to make sure that you know that they fast and they furious. Fast and furious. They got a certain swagger. Today, if you look at pop stars, look at movie stars, superstars, supermodels, sports figures, they've all got a certain swag. They've all gotten a certain lifestyle they're promoting. They want you to know, hey, they're living the life. They got it going on. They're the trendsetters. They like being awarded for their accomplishments. They like being recognized for their wealth. They've got a certain thing that they like to promote and make sure everybody knows about. And you know, if we're all honest, each and every one of them wouldn't mind having a few more followers. Isn't that right? Each and every one of them wouldn't mind having people taking notes on them, checking them out. After all, the more people you got following you, probably the more money, the more power that they have. And they're all interested. They all promote and they put out a lifestyle and a message and to each and every one of us to say, hey man, check this out. This is what's going on. This is where you want to be. This is what it's all about. Each and every one. Doesn't matter what area of life it is. And it makes you kind of wonder, with all the different opinions out there, with all the different voices out there speaking to you and I each and every day, it makes you kind of wonder, is there one person who could accomplish such a feat as to render all the rest nothing in comparison to his accomplishment? Is there one way? Is there one truth? Is there one life? Is there one thing that can promise me success, goodness, happiness, life, and truth in my life? And I'm here to tell you tonight, young adults, and I hope it's not cliche, but there is one person, there is one man, there has been one accomplishment that renders all the rest nothing in comparison, and his name is Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life, and nobody comes to the Father of life except by him. I like to take his own words. He is the light of the world. He is tonight the bright and morning star. He is the lily of the valley. He is the answer for the world today. He is the answer for the world today. I want to read you something. I have the reference up on the overhead. You can just listen tonight because it's a lot. So I want to kind of go quick, but this verse is found in Isaiah chapter 40. This Jesus that we're talking about tonight, it's the Bible says about him in Isaiah chapter 40 that he measured the waters of the earth in the palm of his hand. Hello. He has weighed all the mountains on a scale and the hills in a balance. No one was his teacher. No one instructed him. No one showed him the difference between good and evil. No one gave him knowledge and no one brought him understanding. Yes, wisdom and counsel and knowledge are his and his alone. Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket compared to him. They are counted as the small dust on the scales. Has anybody here ever seen a scale and just seen kind of like the dust kind of float and land on it? It doesn't move the scale. It doesn't weigh anything. The nations are but the dust that falls on the scale in comparison to the God that we serve. All the trees of Lebanon, the Bible says, are not sufficient to burn for him. All its cattle not sufficient for a burnt offering. The Bible says, to whom will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? God is the one who sits above the circle of the earth and its inhabitants. You and I are like grasshoppers to him. God stretches out the heavens like a curtain. He spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. One blast or one blow of his nostrils, get this, blows away all the kings and all the people of the earth as if they were stubble, the Bible says. Lift up your eyes and behold the stars and see who created them, who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name. And by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. God, he never faints, nor is he weary. This God has a swagger for you. And the Bible says, continuing that verse, he never faints, he never grows weary, and he's the one who gives power to the weak. He's the one who gives to those who have no might, he increases their strength. Even young people, the young adults, shift young adults on their own will faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, who lean their entire personality, their swag, their thing, their hobbies, their in complete confidence and trust, these shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They will walk and will not faint. Is there anybody in the house who wants the strength of the Lord? God's got a swagger for you. King David said this, for you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The way of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to war so that I can bend a bow of bronze. Some of you here in the house tonight, you've been dealing with issues and addictions and things that you just seem to can't get over. But I want you to know tonight that God will train your hands to war so you can take those chains and you can take those bonds like we sang tonight and you can shake them off and they can be broken tonight. God has a swagger for you. He has a look for you, a certain lifestyle he wants present in you. It says, you have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me so my feet did not slip. Tonight, God has a swagger for you. And tonight, you don't have to look to the things of the world, the social systems, presidents, kings, movie stars, superstars, supermodels. You got to look like this if you're going to be cute. If you're going to be pretty, you need to have this shape. Bada bing, bada boom, shablam, shabang. You don't have to look to those things to find life and to find truth. But you can look to God tonight. God has a swagger for you. Tonight, if God has a swagger for you, if he has a certain lifestyle, a certain look he wants present and a reality in your life, what does it look like? Tonight, it's a lifestyle of life. It's a lifestyle of life. I've said it once. I'll say it twice. I'll say it again for the rest of my life. You will hear Pastor Joe say it. Young adults, people in the house of God, don't get it twisted. The wages or the reward of sin is death. The wages or the reward of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life in Christ Jesus. Listen, tonight, young adults, getting involved in sin will not enhance your life. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you. Glory to God. It will not enhance your life. The wages, the reward of sin is death. And I like this version. This is Pastor Joe's version. But the gift of God is life today that lasts forever. Life today that lasts forever. This swag that God has for you is a swag, is a lifestyle, a look of life. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse number 10, I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. More abundantly. God has life for you and for me. It's the swag that he has. If God has a swag for me, what does it look like? Tonight, it's a lifestyle. It's a look. It's a swag of light. Jesus said, we talked about already, I'm the light of the world. Is there anybody here, if there's anybody here who knows what it is to be in darkness, to not know what up, you're up from your down, to not know what your left is from your right, to be confused, to find yourself, I don't know which way to go, I don't know who to follow, find yourself running into things and bumping it and getting beat up and jacked up and beat down, and thank God that he's called us out of darkness, translated us, and conveyed us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light. He is the light of the world. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody here who knows what it's like to be in the muck and the mire and to be redeemed and pulled out? Pulled out. Hello. It's a lifestyle of light. It's a swag of light, if I can use that term. Tonight, if God has a swagger for me, what does it look like? Tonight, where am I at here? It's a lifestyle of an overcomer. It's the lifestyle, it's a swag of an overcomer. Listen, today I want you to know that God wants to make a champion out of you. God wants to make a champion out of you. In the midst of the tribulation, in the midst of the persecution, in the midst of the tests and the trials, in the midst of, the Bible says, the famine and the nakedness, or the place where you don't have what you need to have in order to make it. In the place of peril and of sword, God wants you to overcome each and every time, again and again and again. Each and every time, day after day, day in and day out, as you face life issues, week in and week out, month in and month out, year, decade after decade, God has a swagger for you, and it's for you to be a champion, for you to overcome each and every single time. Each and every single time. The Bible says that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing can separate you from the love of God. And that's what makes you, that's what Paul said, this is why I'm going to be an overcomer, because I can't be separated. God has a swagger for you. It's the swag of an overcoming life. Listen, God wants to make a champion out of you. With God, there is no knocking off the champs. I wish it were the same for the Lakers, but it's not. Listen to me. There is no knocking off the champs with God, and you are the champs if you're in God tonight. God has a swagger for you. And what does it look like? It's the swag. It's the lifestyle of an overcomer. Tonight, God has a lifestyle for you. It's a lifestyle of peace and wholeness. It's a lifestyle of peace and wholeness. Maybe something that we take for granted. Maybe something that we don't think much of day in and day out. But God has a lifestyle of peace and wholeness. Some of you in here, you're brokenhearted. You got wounds, you've been rejected, you've been dejected, you've been neglected, you've been forgotten about, you've been kicked out. God has peace and wholeness for you. I'll never forget, as a little boy, And this is not to say that Pastor Joe is so cool. Pastor Joe's got it going on. Pastor Joe's not trying to spit his swag tonight. All right. Thank God that I was raised in a Christian home. People who raised me up in the things of God, who said, hey, this is the way that you should go. Walk in it in Jesus' name. And so as a little kid, my grandma would tell me, Joey, if you ever find yourself in trouble, if you're ever scared, you don't know what to do, nobody's there to help you, just call on the name of Jesus. Just call on the name of Jesus. That's all you have to do. Just call out his name. He's going to come to your rescue. You're going to be fine. Now, how many of you know tonight that as a little kid, sometimes there's things that are a bigger deal to you than when you become a grown-up? In other words, when you were a kid, you were freaked out of the closet at night, the dark. You had to have the light on. As an adult, hopefully you're over that, right? And so as a kid, one of my nightmares, one of the things that tortured my mind was this idea that I was going to get sick to my stomach, have to deal with the cramps and the pain, and then throw up. It was just like the worst thing that could ever happen to an individual. All right? And so here my grandma is, if you're ever in trouble, baby, just call on the name of Jesus, all right? And so it was so, like, terrifying to me that if one of my friends, if I found out, man, they had the flu and they got sick and they threw up, man, I'd avoid them for weeks on end. I ain't getting that. And so anyways, thank God that, you know what, as a little kid, I didn't know all the verses. I still don't know all the verses in the Bible. I didn't know all the songs. I wasn't necessarily a spiritual model. But you know what? God honored the faith of a child. I'm here to tell you it's the same for you today, that if you can just simply believe God's word as a little child believes his mom or his dad. God said it, I believe it, and so that settles it for my life. I'm going to walk in it. God will honor your faith. Yeah, I know you don't know all the scriptures, neither do I, but God will honor your faith tonight. I'm kind of getting away from my point a little bit, so we're back to peace and wholeness. And here I was as a kid calling the name of Jesus when I started feeling sick to my stomach. And I have to say, man, to God be the glory, there are many times. Many, many times that I'd start getting sick to my stomach, start calling on the name of Jesus, Lord, by your stripes I'm healed, in Jesus' name. Grandma said, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus, and it would go away. It would go away. Why should that be so surprising to us? It would go away. And so anyways, to say the least, as a little kid growing up, I got pretty good at calling on the name of Jesus, trusting him for my healing. And then I got into my teenage years, 14, 15, 16, and here I am, and I guess you just call it a teenager, not a young man yet, but a teenager, and I'm trying to live a life for Jesus Christ, encountering public school and being made fun of, and no, I don't know what that word means, no, I won't say that word, I'm not going to the club, I'm not going to the bars, I'm not going to kiss so-and-so. I remember one guy, I was playing basketball with them, and they're like, hey, let's go play a game over here. So I go down, and they want to play spin the bottle. Never heard of it in my life. So he sits down, and they start spinning the bottle, and I'm like, what's going on? And it lands on me and this girl. And he's all, kiss her! And I was all, no! And he was like 2 years older than me, so he like smashed my head into the girl. So anyways, that's just kind of a funny story. But as a Christian living a life, as a Christian amongst the world, how many know that there can be persecution? There can be trials. People will make fun of you. Thank God we can suffer for Jesus Christ and we don't have to do what everybody else do. Amen. And so here I was strong in calling on the name of Jesus for my healing. And then I go to church service. So anyway, the point of the story is that there's a time in my life where I didn't have peace, living peace and wholeness in my mind, in my life. I'd come home discouraged, played soccer, played really well, but couldn't quite get on a basic level with the rest of the team because I ain't going there. I ain't talking about that. You can look at the Playboys in the back of the bus. I ain't going to do it. I love Jesus. All right? And so from time to time, it would bother me. So I go to this church service, and this lady gets up, and she gives a prophecy. Now, I want you to know tonight, how many know that the Bible talks about prophecy? And I know that people have made prophecy weird. But it's still in the Bible. It's still God's word. It's still a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's still something that should be active in the believer's life. Amen. And she got up there and she gave a word. And it wasn't weird, but it was for me. It was like she spoke the word and it came right out of her mouth, kind of went right over to me, right in my ears, right to my heart. I'm standing there crying. And all she did was she got up and said, I don't believe the word was only for me, but I knew it was for me. If it wasn't for anybody else, it was for me. And she got there and said, there's somebody in here, and God wants you to know you've done a pretty good job standing on the verse that by his stripes you are healed. but you've forgotten about the verse in front of it. And the verse in front of it says that the chastisement or the punishment needed for you to obtain peace and wholeness, soundness of mind was upon Jesus. In other words, the price has been paid. The door has been opened. It is your right to have peace. And there I was, and the tears began to fall, and Jesus began to fill my life with peace and wholeness. The Bible says he heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up all their wounds. Another verse I like so much, they use it at funerals, but I still believe that it's for us today in everyday life, is the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. There is peace and wholeness. This swagger God has for you, peace and wholeness. And so today, if you're in the house and you got a broken heart and your boyfriend left you and your girlfriend left you, or maybe even worse, you know, your spouse cheated on you, I don't know. Your kid was born with a heart problem. God is the healer of the heart. God brings peace and wholeness and soundness of mind. There's a swagger for you. What does this swagger look like? It's a swagger of love. It's a swagger, it's a lifestyle, it's a living reality of love and love that God has for you. Now, I know I'm talking to the young adults tonight. We got ages 18 to 28, single and married. Probably most of you here are single. Wow. And some of you dudes in the house, you know, you love Jesus, but you just can't wait for the one. I can't, if I had a penny for every time I heard, I want to meet the one, Pastor Joe, I'm waiting for the one, I'd be rich. And so the young men in the house are, Pastor Joe, I'm waiting for the one, she's bada bing, bada boom, blam, she's, you know what I'm talking about. The ladies in the house, the single in the house, and Pastor Joe, I want to meet the one, I can just see him now, he's just so romantic. He brings me chocolates. He brings me cards. He takes me on romantic dates. I'm here to tell you, man, God wants to bless you with a spouse. But I'm also here to tell you that in your finding young men and in your dating young ladies, don't forget about the love to which none can compare. The love that you need every day for your life. The love by which you are going to be able to love that man. After you get married, after you say I do, and he's still sitting on the couch. You've been sitting on the couch for like 3 weeks. You've been playing those video games for like 5 hours. You've been in your man cave. You've been in the garage. How are you going to do it? By the love of God. Coming down from heaven, filling your heart and your life, and then flooding and pouring out to the rest of your life and to the people around you. It's a swagger. It's a look. It's a lifestyle of love tonight. Of love. Tonight it's... God's got a swagger for you. What does it look like? It's a lifestyle. It's a swagger of purpose. God has a purpose. God has a plan. God has a destiny for you. I'm so glad we come to a church where our senior pastors boldly tell us, hey, listen, if a couple of people got together in a bar and they were drunk and they were out of their mind and they didn't know what they're doing and then they woke up the next morning and they're like, oh, dang, who are you? And you came out of that? Listen, God still has a plan for you. God still has a plan for you. He knew who you were before the foundation of the earth. He made sure that you were formed in your mother's womb tonight. He's got a plan. He's got a future. He has a destiny for you. Yeah, I know tonight you don't know who your parents are. And you've been adopted and you feel that rejection. But tonight you've been accepted by God. You've been brought into the family and the house of God. And he has a plan and a purpose and a destiny, something for you to accomplish, something great for you to do tonight. And you need to know it. God's got a swagger for you. Tonight, God's got a swagger for you. What does it look like? It's a swagger of hope. Of hope each and every day as you lift your head off that pillow. There's an old song that says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, oh, I know, he holds the future. And my life is worth the living just because he lives. Thank God for such anointed words. I can face tomorrow. Somebody here needs to know you can face tomorrow. Why? Just because he lives. You may not have the money right yet to pay your bills that's coming in or due tomorrow. They're going to turn off the electricity. They're going to shut down the water. They're going to come throw you out of your home. But you can face tomorrow just because he lives. And if you hang on to him, he'll make sure that he makes it right. You know, I hear a lot of people talk about the story of Job. They talk about, oh, dang, the devil came before God, and God was like, psh, do whatever you want because he's still going to serve me. And they kind of leave it at that. And that's great, and that's wonderful, and that's amazing. And yes, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And whatever he does, I'm still going to praise him. Amen. But they forget about, there's a verse in the New Testament that says that you can see the outcome and the intention of the Lord from the very beginning. That he is very gracious and merciful. And you see the intent that he intended for Job from the beginning. And if you know the rest of the story of Job, God more than makes up for everything that he lost. And so today you might find yourself in a test or in a trial. You may find yourself missing and lacking and without. But I'm here to tell you today, there is hope for you. And there is intent that God has for your life to make sure that it turns out all right. And better than all right. Because we take all right as like, all right, all right. Better than all right. God has a future. God has a plan for you. Tonight, God has a swagger for you. What does it look like? It's a lifestyle of strength and not weakness. He's the glory and the lifter of my head. Amen. Tonight, it's a lifestyle of spiritual riches. Anybody know what it like to be bougie in the spirit? Bourgeois. I learned that word like 2 years ago. I never heard it before until Antonio told me. You know these bougie people? I was like, bougie? What's bougie? What is that? Bourgeois. The creme de la creme. All right? But God, it's a swagger of being rich in the spirit. I'm here to tell you, you can have all the riches of the world and still be dead and dying and empty and ugly and yucky and vile on the inside. Riches don't help your life. They just kind of make you a little bit more comfortable as you're going through hell. Amen. All right? But spiritual riches will pour out into every area of your life and absolutely bless you. Tonight, God has a swagger for you, and it's a lifestyle of physical health. If you're sick in your body, God wants to heal your body tonight. God wants to make all things new. The same way the children of Israel walked out of Egypt, the Bible says that there wasn't a single one of them sick, not lame, not nothing. They had it going on. God wants the same for you. The Bible likens us to the children of Israel. Just as God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, so he's brought us out of darkness, like we said, moved us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And so God wants you living a life of health. I find it funny, too, that, not funny, but actually, but rather awesome and amazing that God included healing in salvation. If you saved, healing's for you. He bore our iniquities. He took our sins. And then the Bible says, and by his stripes, you are healed. So next time you come to church on Easter and you see them whipping him in the passion of the Christ, you just remember, man, there goes cancer. There goes heart problems. There goes diabetes. There goes stuff being passed down from my parents. There it goes. There it goes. God has a life of health for your body tonight. Tonight, if God has a swagger, and now that we know a lifestyle, a look, something to be a living reality in each and every one of our lives, now that we know a little bit about it, today, Pastor Joe, how do I enter into these things? How do I walk the swagger that God's called me to walk? How do I make it a living reality in my life? And the answer tonight, young adults, is very simple. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you, that he may lift you up. Becoming one of my favorite verses. Under his mighty hand that he may lift you up, that he may exalt you in due time. What am I talking about? Today, young adults, is the day to retire. Pastor Joe, what are you talking about? You just said this is 18 to 28. I'm 26. What are you talking about retiring for? I'm talking about retiring from your way and going God's way. Today is the day to relinquish control. Today is the day to get your hand out of the Kool-Aid. Today is the day to get out of the driver's seat and get into the passenger seat and let Jesus take the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hand. The whole reason why you're on the road that you on is because you still got your hand in the Kool-Aid. You're still this. Yeah, I know you're Christian. I know you love Jesus. I know you come to church. I know you know what John 3:16 says. But you know what? You still got your hand in your life, deciding what's best for you. And I'm telling you today, if you want to walk in the swagger, in the life, in the promises, and the reality that God has for you, you're going to have to let go and let God. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and preach it, Brother Joe. You're doing great. Thank you very much. I will. I'm just kidding. Today's the day to retire and let go and let God. Today's the day to stop deciding for myself what is best for myself, because I can't do it. I'm gonna find myself on a road that I don't want to be on, singing Jesus Take the Wheel from my busted and disgusted car. If you brought your Bibles tonight, turn in them with me to James chapter 4. I've been preaching a whole lot. Haven't been looking at talking about a whole lot of verses. First time we're turning to the Word of God tonight. James chapter 4, verse number 6. Verse number 6. But God gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse number 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Look at verse 6 again. God gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Hey, listen, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now turn to the right just a few pages to 1 Peter chapter 5. It's probably 4 or 5 pages, 3 to 5 pages to the right. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 5. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Now watch this next part. And be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse number 6, therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Tonight, young people, pride is not walking around with your nose stuck up in the air. All right? The Bible calls that a haughty look. And if you have a haughty look, probably you're going to be living in pride. But pride, and we don't have time to go through all the verses to prove it out and to show you exactly what the Bible says, but to make it short and simple tonight, pride is just simply a refusal to do things God's way. Pride is saying, I'm going to do things my way. I'm going to decide for myself what is good, the way that I should go. If you want to get all apologetic and all scriptural, you probably better said this way, that pride is a failure to submit to God's way. Pride is a failure to submit to God's way. If you look at both of the verses we just read, the Bible says that God resists the proud, or the person who says, I'm going to decide for myself what's good. I know the Bible says I shouldn't have sex before marriage, but you know what? I'm young, and I'm only going to do it once or twice, and you know there's forgiveness, and I promise I won't do it again, but it's okay right now. I love them. They love me. Tonight, you know, there's somebody in the house, and you know that God has called you a specific place. I'll take that up later. I know, God, I know you want me to go there. I know you want me to do that. But you know what? Right now, I'm just going to go do this, and that'll be there for me in a few years. What are you doing? You're deciding what's best for yourself. And the whole reason why the world is in a mess today is because ever since Adam and Eve, people have been trying to decide what is best for them. Decide what is good and what is evil. And that's why we find ourselves on a road singing Jesus Take the Wheel. Again, why? Because we're proud. We're going to do things our way. We're going to decide for ourselves what is best for ourselves. Yes, I know that he's not saved, but you know what? He's not a bad person, and I promise not to marry him until he gets saved. And you know what? He comes with me to church, and so I'm going to go ahead and date him. I'm going to go ahead and decide for myself what I think is best for myself. Mm-hmm, he's fine anyway. What are you doing? You're setting yourself up for failure. You're setting yourself up for failure. And one day, and hopefully soon, you'll realize, you know what? I don't have this lifestyle, this reality that God decided for me to have. It's not present in my life. Why? Because I won't relinquish control. I've got control of my life. It's evident to me that God runs the show, so let's back down. Let him take the leading role, and we could play the background. Thank you, Lecrae, for those lines. All right? The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, For we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, each and every one of us. But God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And so again, the reason why we find ourselves in a mess today is because we're going our own way. Today's the day to relinquish control. Today's the day to retire. Today's the day to let go and let God. Today's the day to really let Jesus be Lord in every area of our lives. Last verse tonight, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 12, Hebrews 12:12. This is really the verse that spawned this message, if you will. God speaking to me, Hebrews 12:12. It says this, speaking of God having a swagger for you. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Let me read that again. That's powerful. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Some of you tonight, you think you got it going on. You think you got your swag. All right. But if Jesus were to come down and look you in the eye, and show you what your life really looked like. Your hands would be hanging down. Your knees would be feeble. You don't even have straight paths for yourself to walk in. And so rather than being cool, rather than having a swag, you're lame. You're lame. We know that term. That's lame. So that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Tonight it's time to relinquish control and go God's way. God, I know this is what you're speaking to my life today. I don't know what it is for you. I may or may not have touched on the subject that God wants to deal with you about, but I think that you get the point today. God has a swagger for me, and there ain't nothing that can compete with what he has for me. And if I'm going to find it, if I'm going to make it a living reality in my life, I've got to relinquish control. I've got to let go. I've got to let God. I know that somebody, so-and-so did me wrong, and I want to do them wrong, but God says, don't be overcome with evil. And don't repay evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. The Bible says back off and leave room for God's wrath. Hello? Pray for those who curse you. Bless them that despitefully use you. And in doing so, you will pour coals of fire on their head. Hello? Let God do it. The Bible says that the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Let go and let God. Today I got flipped off, double flipped off on the freeway. And I want to slow down my car and like, my fingers are bigger than yours. I just made that up. I didn't really think that. But here I am driving. I'm going down the freeway and this semi truck, he comes from the fast lane, like over like three lanes. And I thought, okay, surely he's going to stop in the next lane. No, he didn't come. He got to the lane right next to me. Oh my gosh, he's coming over. I had to slam on my brakes. So I honked my horn. He's like, blam! So anyways, but I have to let it go, and I have to not decide what is best for me. You know, I can flip him off and repent later. I could like go and yell at him or something, or act all hard or tough and riding dirty. Or I can let God and not let my flesh get out of control. Tonight I'll close with this story. There is a man who was an artist. And he happened to have a very close friend who is a professional chess player, and so they were hanging out, had dinner, and decided, you know what, I want to go to the museum and check out some art, get some inspiration. Why don't you come with me? It'll be cool. You have fun. I'll tell you all about it and everything. So they go to this museum. They go to this museum and they're checking out all the paintings, all the artistry, all the architecture, all the moldings, everything that's going on, and they come across this picture, this painting. On this painting, on the left-hand side, sits the devil. And he's sitting on a chair with an evil kind of smirk or grin on his face. Sitting there at a chess table in the middle of the picture. On the right-hand side sits a man with a defeated look on his face, with a frown. Frown of shame, condemnation. And the title of the picture was Checkmate. For those of you who don't play chess and don't really know what that means, basically checkmate signifies the end of the game. Either you or your opponent has whittled the other team down to the place where if the king stands still, he's going to die. If he moves to the left, he's going to die. If he moves to the right, he's going to die. If he moves up, he's going to die. Back, he's going to die. Diagonal, he's going to die. He's just dead. Game over, checkmate. So here sits the devil with this grin on his face. Title of the picture is Checkmate. And there sits the man with the defeated look of shame on his face. And as they're sitting there, standing there, taking it all in, all of a sudden the chess player, the professional chess player, the artist's friend looks over at him and says, "There's something wrong with this picture." And he says, "What's wrong with the picture? All the colors are in their perfect place. Nothing is out of contrast. Just everything's perfect. The signature, the font of lettering they use, it's just all perfect. What's wrong with it?" He says, "The king still has another move. The king still has another move." What are you talking about? The title of the picture says checkmate, but the king on the chessboard still has another move. And tonight, if you're here, tonight some of you are here and you found yourself in a place, having taken the wheel for yourself, decided what's best for you, and you find yourself in a place and you don't know how to get out. You don't know how to break the addiction. You don't know how to change your life. You don't know which way to go. All the choices in front of you only seem to have a bad outcome. But tonight, if you will let go and let God, tonight, if you relinquish control and go ahead and do what you know God wants for you to do, I'm telling you tonight, the king still has another move in your life. And you just keep on relinquishing control and you just keep on letting go, because the king will have move after move after move until you're walking in the swag of an overcomer, until you're walking as a champion, until you're defeating those things, bending the bow of bronze with your arms because he's trained your hands to war. Tonight, wherever you're at, back up against the wall, the king still has another move. If you'll but repent, let go and let God. It's that simple.